least 59 migrants, including 12 children, have died after their wooden boat smashed into rocky reefs just off southern Italy. The boat had set sail from Turkey several days ago with migrants from Afghanistan, Iran and several other countries. It crashed in stormy weather. 81 people survived. 20 are in hospital, including one person in intensive care. Interior Minister Matteo Pantidossi, who travelled to the scene, said 20 to 30 people might still be missing. Nando Signona is a Professor of International Migration and Forced Displacement at the University of Birmingham in the UK. He has more than 15 years of research and teaching experience in migration, refugee, citizenship and ethnic studies and joins us now. Professor, thank you very much for your time on our program. Can I ask you firstly, when you saw this news of another migrant crossing disaster, what was your initial reaction?
It's obviously a tragedy, but in a way it's not unexpected. The Italian government, since the new government came into place in the autumn, has taken a much tougher approach on sea rescues, but in a different, applying a different strategy. So it's no longer about closing the port as it was before, but what they're doing, they're trying to limit the capacity of NGOs, for example, to provide to search and rescue operation at sea by sending them very far away. So you basically, they changed the strategy. This also means that there is less capacity now to intervene when there are situations like this. Plus, the weather was terrible. This is a slightly unusual boat, in the sense it's not coming from Tunisia or Libya like the large majority of the arrival, but it's actually coming from Turkey. So went for a very long journey to get to southern Italy.
Where are the survivors taken now, Professor, and what awaits them in Italy? What happens now?
What the Italian government is trying to do is to get people to pass through Italy. So rather than getting them to all apply for asylum, for example, in the country, what they're trying to do is to get the European Union, other European member states, to take some of the arrival. And this is also why when a group of people are rescued at sea at the moment, even if this happened, for example, near Sicily, they may be sent up to the north of Italy so that they are closer to the northern border. So the first process will be the identification with fingerprinting, as soon, obviously, as the people are out of the hospital, for example, at which point they will be distributed among different municipalities for a short period of time, which their case will be have a first assessment. But often what happens is that people tend also to disengage, so to disappear. Basically, once they arrive, they tend to try to move to reach out to family members that may be in Italy, but also elsewhere in Europe. And obviously, there is the Schengen area, so they can travel through the borders fairly easily.
Can you give us an idea? I mentioned a bit in our introduction there, but can you give us an idea of where these migrants had travelled from and what kinds of situations they were fleeing from?
Yes. So traditionally, in Italy, we have sea arrival through Tunisia, from Tunisia and Libya, and mostly people will be arriving, crossing through the Mediterranean, in the central Mediterranean, reaching Lampedusa first, and then towards the coast of Sicily. In this case, the boat was traveling from Izmir in Turkey, and actually had been already identified a few days ago by Frontex. I mean, this is at least what some of the media are reporting. There was an attempt to intercept it early on, but due to the weather condition, they had to postpone it. And strangely enough, I mean, what happened normally with the boat at sea, they get rescued much earlier. So when they are quite far away from the coast of Italy, in this case, basically this tragic accident really happened just a few hundred meters from the coast of Italy, which is very unusual.
Mm. How you mentioned their changes under Giorgia Meloni, the new Prime Minister of Italy. I just want to ask, you know, given that, how does the situation now with migrant crossings compare to what we've seen in the past 10 years or so? How many people are trying to make this journey across the Mediterranean?
Mm. I mean, since the beginning of the year, so just in the last 2 months, we have about 11,500 arrivals in Italy only. And this is about, there has been a quite significant increase from last year, where there were, at this point of the year, we only had about 4,000 arrivals. So we see an intensification of the flows. It's also true that last year there may be still be some of the consequences of COVID and the sort of disruption to the various traveling routes. What we see compared to the previous years is that the Italian destination is becoming again quite central in the Mediterranean. So Greece, for example, now receives a fairly small number, and also Spain. But Italy is where most of the arrival will occur. And people are coming from areas which are going through major political unrest, or civil war, political instability, poverty. I mean, people in this case were coming, apparently from the initial news we have, were coming from Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq. They were basically crossing, so getting into Turkey and then try the journey across the Mediterranean from there. Normally, the arrival in Italy would be from the sub-Saharan Africa, so the one that crossed from Tunisia and Libya, that would be mostly from the African continent.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt there. I understand. Can I just ask about this? Because one survivor has been arrested on migrant trafficking charges. What can you tell us about the groups facilitating these dangerous crossings?
The kind of crossing we're talking about, this is hundreds of miles of crossing in open sea. It requires a large boat and requires quite an infrastructure to occur. You know, it requires someone who knows how to run a boat that goes in high sea. So in this case, it's very likely that there is an involvement of a network, or major network of smugglers. So while in small crossing, you know, like, for example, the crossing of the English Channel or between Turkey and Greece, where it's just a few kilometers and boats can be very small, it's much more a DIY situation where there are small facilitators, but things can happen also without involvement of criminal networks.
Okay, Professor, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your time. Nando Signona there, Professor of International Migration and Forced Displacement, joining us there from the University of Birmingham in the UK.